Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Red Snapper. Here we go with it. We're doing it like we always do. We're broadcasting live out of Dallas, Texas tonight. So we're going to be bringing it to you like we always do, but we're doing it here in the big street of Texas. So sit back and relax. We do need you. We are good to be here. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are broadcasting live right here in Dallas, Texas. So we're doing it up differently this evening, and let me get my boy on the line right now. Let's bring him on in. How's it going, DV?
Can you hear me?
Oh, gotcha.
What's good, man? Like, hot as hell, ain't it? I told you Texas wasn't playing. I mean, it ain't cool.
It's burning up, man. It was hot in Kansas City because it was raining, but damn, it's smoking down here in Texas. Shit. But we love it. We love to be down here. Got a chance to do some things today that I wanted to. Had some downtime, and I'm a historian by heart. You know, that's what I have one of my degrees in. And you know, I wanted to always see this area in Dallas, never had a chance to do it before, so I was able to go to, you know, to see the John F. Kennedy Memorial, as well as the area where he was actually gunned down back in, I guess, 50 years ago, November 22nd of 1963. You know, I'm a historian, so I like history of all types, whether it's our history or whatever you want to call it. It's still our history, even if it is black history. It's still something that was going on because this man, the things that he did for our country, as well as to help us as a people during that time. So, you know, it was one of those things. But let me, before we go any further into our conversation, because we got some stuff that I know you want to talk about, Dee Dee, and I am definitely wanting to talk with you about this subject that we're going to bring up. But I have a caller. Let me see if this caller is our guest that we're maybe scheduled to have this evening, because I don't know if our guests are coming. But let me see who this is. Area code is 209. State your name and where you're calling from. If I can get your mic to come on. There you go. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Lynn Davis from California.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Are you calling in just to listen in or just?
Well, I was under the impression I would be interviewed today regarding my ebook.
And I don't see why not. What's your name again?
Lynn Davis.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show because you are one of the scheduled guests, and there was a couple of others that were supposed to come, which I figured. You know, a lot of times people get scared when they want to come on the show. They ask me to come on. And then it's either they go and listen to a show or they get some bad press or whatever it is, or they know I'm going to talk shit to them. So then they decide they don't want to come on the line. So we're just glad that you was bold enough and strong enough and willing to come on. Say hi to DV. DVN, how are you doing this evening? Talk to him. DV, you there? Okay, he's messed up right now, I think. His mic is on, but I'm not hearing anything from him. So how's everything? And you're calling from California, so I know you're hours behind us. So kind of give us a little background on you and tell us what's going on. Hello? I guess I'm losing everybody. Okay. So we're just going to, let me see if I can get people to get back in. So we're going to try that for a second. But while we're doing that, we're also going to let you know that the chat room is open as well. If you want to get on the chat room, that is open, and we're accepting people there. Dee Dee, can you hear me? I have lost everyone for some reason. Can you hear me, BB? For some reason,
hello?
I don't have anyone. Oh, yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, this is still
hello?
Linda.
Okay, all right. So okay, for some reason, we have some technical difficulties, and I apologize. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio gets mixed up time. So let's go ahead and get you to kind of tell people who you are, and we'll start talking about your book.
Okay, well, I am Lynn Davis. I'm an author. I do erotica romance, or e-rom as it's famously known, I guess. And how I got started in that was, obviously, I read 50 Shades of Grey and thought I could do that, too. And so September of last year, I wrote my first story, published it online on erotica.com, got some feedback, have about 10,000 followers there, decided at the beginning of this year I would like to see if I could actually write a novella, which is what the book is. The books that I've published so far are novellas, and wrote it, and people actually bought it. So I was fire baptized into the world of authors.
So you took 50 Shades of Grey as an example of what you would want it to do?
Well, not use it as an example. I read it, and, you know, I'm not one of those people that's is into the lifestyle, I guess, that she was trying to portray in the book. So as far as a love story, I thought it was good. But I felt that, for me, not everyone wants to fall in love with the billionaire. I mean, it would be wonderful, but we all don't want to fall in love with the billionaire. Sometimes we just want the guy next door. And it just seems like when you look at erotica, a lot of the authors wanted, you know, the billionaire's baby, the billionaire husband, the billionaire. And I just wanted to get the average Joe and just have a romance that was hot and sweet with the average Joe. So it kind of was my inspiration, but kind of not.
Okay, so you thought, I guess what I'm, my question to you is, your opinion, 50 Shades of Grey was a good example of erotica. Is it because of the love story or the S&M or whatever was going on?
Erotica because of how she wrote the book, and that's the way they deemed it, erotica. as far as it being good erotica or bad erotica, I would say it beats some books I've read and it doesn't beat others.
Have you read any other erotica, use any other examples of erotica that, you know, from other authors that you, you know, before you decided to write your own?
Before I decided to write my own, I read a lot of short stories on the internet. So I didn't really read, like, novels. I didn't start reading You know, I've heard of Zane, but I haven't, I have to admit, I haven't sat down and read her book. However, I've talked to people that have read her book, and I hear nothing but good reviews. So that's next on my list of things to do. But I haven't personally read a Zane novel.
So what I'm hearing then is your whole, almost, I'm going to say all of it, but 80% of your experience of erotic writing or reading has been 50 Shades of Grey.
I would say 10% of my experience has been 50 Shades of Grey.
I read other books.
50 Shades of Grey was when I said, after I read that trilogy, I was like, oh, I could do this. I mean, literally, I could write a book, whether it was a fiction erotica book or just a fiction book, a fiction romance book. I felt that, you know, if this is the type of writing that's making millions of dollars, I can do it.
Well, the only reason why, well, you know, and I agree with you as far as that goes, but the thing is, and this is only my opinion. I mean, I know a lot of people read the book, and I'm not trying to dog, but, you know how 50 Shades of Grey came about, right? It was not even written to. It was just some blog shit she was writing. I'm sorry. Could you say that again, please?
I said I heard it was like a spinoff of Twilight, the original story.
Not even the same author.
But from what I guess from the blogs and stuff that I read, the story E.L. James wrote it under a different name on a fan site or something, but it was a twist off of the original characters were Edward and Bella, and it was not Christian and Anastasia or whoever she named it to be in the book, and she changed that when a publisher or an editor approached her and said, you know, at least that's what I read on the blog. I could be totally wrong because it's not my universe, you know what I mean? It's not something that I wanted to know about. I just kind of, when I started to decide I wanted to write erotica, I started, you know, going on blogs. I read a lot of the reviews of what people had said about certain books, including 50 Shades of Grey, and that's what was coming up in the dialogue.
What? Hey, Red.
Can you hear me? Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
I kind of took the same path that Ms. Lynn took. The first book that I read that got me interested in erotica was The Happy Little Hooker by basically Madam X. And it, back then it wasn't really erotica. It was simply an autobiography, you know, of some of the things that she did. So I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I also, huh?
Yeah, go ahead. I heard you. Yeah.
Okay. I also posted stories on Lit Erotica. And, you know, that's why I'm familiar with the website. This was like maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago that I posted something on Lit Erotica. But, like, the
you're
only reason
Samuel,
I posted something.
You're not nah. Samuel X, Larry, because that his shit is just garbage. But anyway, go ahead. I'm just
playing. No, like
that's on Lit Erotica. He's got stories for everything. Big girls, this. Everything black.
No,
on
no,
there,
like.
But it's garbage. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it was. This was like, you know, maybe 8-10 years ago that I posted on Lit Erotica. And the reason why is because I wanted to maintain my anonymity, and, you know, but I also wanted, you know, some insight. Because, you know, the website is really filled with people who write shorts who may or may not want to be published, but, you know, they specialize in reading and rating stories. You know,
yeah,
what
I know
saying?
Well,
right. You know,
yeah.
So like, I think I won an like for my first story. I actually won an award, and that was an incentive to, you know, to kind of push forward. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Like, I forget. Like I had like they, you know, they put like little letters by your stories or whatever, and I had like a little gold trophy and a letter by, it, and I had no idea what the hell that meant. And so they all made fun of me for a while. They were like, figure, you know, leave it to somebody who doesn't know what it means to get one, you know. But I think that was an excellent jumping point. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm no fan of 50 Shades of Grey. But whenever you – we all did that. We all read that one story that said, I can do this or I can even do better than this. Because without that, you can never be a great writer if you don't think that you can do better than what you're currently reading.
Absolutely. That's the reason why I was asking her questions in that regard, to find out what did she really get from 50 Shades, because, you know, I'm just hoping that, and I haven't had a chance to read your book, and I'm going to, though. I really am going to do that. But my thing is you know, it wasn't the best erotic book, but like you said, the love story piece of that is what a lot of people, when they did give it a positive, is because of that piece of it. It wasn't really the erotica that they were looking at. And I was just asking her because I wanted to make sure that she wasn't giving all her erotic experience on that book. Because, you know, there's a lot of erotica that's out there. And, you know, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey made a lot. It's going to be a movie. It's got a lot of things. A lot of people put it out there, and it's word of mouth, and everything got it out there. I applaud her for the marketing scheme that she came up with. But, you know, that just goes to show you that the story doesn't have to be shit. And as long as you get it out there, people are going to make it a household name. And that's what people hear you hear now. So that's all I was saying. All right. So tell us about your story, Lynn, without giving it away, because we want people to buy the book. But kind of give us a little bit about how you came about with the story and kind of give us where it's kind of going without giving us the end.
Okay, I believe the one that I sent to you, because I have three that are up on Amazon right now, and the one that I sent to you was In My Dreams. Was it In My Dreams or
Dream? What is your latest one that you have out now?
Well, the one that just released yesterday, yay, is Entice, and I can tell you about that one.
tell us about your latest work, and then we'll get into your past work.
Okay, well, yeah. So Entice was released yesterday, and Entice is basically about a love triangle. It's a black female. I write all interracial, mostly dealing with a black female because, ta-da, I am a black female, so I kind of know how we feel.
Yeah, a point of reference.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of reference there. So she's a black female who is, when the story starts, she's engaged. We embark upon her engagement, and she kind of is doubting that engagement. And so what I did was, it's going to be a series, I should say. So this first book is kind of why kind of why she's doubting her engagement, and then there's a Hispanic gentleman that comes in to play Miguel. Her fiancé is Roland, which is also African-American man, and then we have Miguel, who's Hispanic, and he comes back from Afghanistan. And so now she has to deal with issues between their relationship, you know, unresolved issues. They broke up. She never really fell out of love with him. She just kind of moved on, and then there was Roland. And so now she's in love with Roland. She's in love with Miguel. Who does she choose? And that's where this story kind of introduces that, and then the rest of the series we will follow her journey and how she chooses, if she chooses one of the two.
So what made you decide to go with that? Because I noticed a lot of black women authors are now starting to do this interracial thing with men, which is not a problem, but because I know men do it all the time and in the videos, and they got all these half white looking women and all this stuff and everything. So I'm wondering, now I'm starting to see that, because I know Kayla Perrin has been writing black women and white men's novels for years, and then there's other authors that are now coming out with that. I was just wondering, we had one, I think it was Tina Levine. She was on here a couple of weeks ago that does that as well. So I was wondering, is that a new trend?
Well, I don't know about, I can't answer for all female authors, but for me, it's again, it's a personal reference. It is what I do. So I date white men. I date, you know, other than black. So not saying there's anything wrong.
We fuck up that bad.
I'm just saying that, you know, that, yes, it is my preference, so I stand firm on that. But that's the reason why I write, because I know.
So black, and don't take this personal, this is worse sexy. Black dick ain't shit. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I'm just saying that at the end of the day, it seems that I tend, and I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, black men think that black,
you know,
men
what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to look your face up and see what you look like now on Facebook, because you did that.
Let her say what she needs to say.
Hell, we're losing here. No, but go ahead.
I knew
that you did this kind of writing anyway, so it wasn't a big deal. But is this a picture of you on the profile, or is that just one of your characters, or what? Or, you know, sometimes people never put their real face on the scene. So is this you in the purple?
You looking at my Facebook?
Say what?
Are you looking at my Facebook? Where are you looking?
Yeah, on Facebook.
Yeah, that's supposed to be me, yeah.
Is you on the profile picture?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, you see, now you don't want to tell. Okay, all right, well, right there.
Oh, man.
Okay, before we go any further, though, I got a caller here. Let me see who this is real quick. Eric code 402, see if they have any questions or anything. If they don't, please don't hang up. State your name, where you're calling from. Eric code 402, do you have a question? Okay, they don't. I'm going to let them go. No, don't hang up, please, because sometimes when I do that, people get scared and they hang up or whatever, but we understand you're listening. Anybody else that wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and this is Grown Folks Radio, and we talk shit like we always do every Monday, 8 o'clock Central Time, and we have Lynn Davis right now on the phone, and she is talking with us about her erotic books and how she likes to mess with these white guys, different people and everything. And no, I'm just saying. This is good. Anyway.
You really got to take it there.
You know I got to fuck with her, but okay, now let's get back to you, Lori.
You want to talk. You've been through so many interracial relationships, it ain't funny.
Well, Well, you know, I talk shit, but yeah, I understand where she's coming from. It's not a problem. So back to our guest. The picture's pretty if that's you, Lynn. If it ain't, then I don't know. But anyway, and I hate to see that go to others if it ain't for a brother, but I understand sometimes brothers be fucking up, so I can understand you wanting to do that, you know. And
yeah, that's not my story, though. That's not my story. I wasn't done wrong by a black man. That's why I went white. Because then that makes white look like number two. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not the way it is for me.
Okay, that's cool. I got no problem. You just like that side. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, that's just like the one with nails in my chocolate. What can I
do? Okay, so let's change that. Let's get off of that for now. Let's get to the real meat of the story here. How hot do you get in your books? Do you talk shit where it's really like there, or do you use metaphors for pieces of the parts of the body? Is it like romance? Is it some hot sex that you just leave, like he stuck his dick in her ass? Or what, how do you do that? What is your way?
I'm starting out, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I started in September doing this. And so I think I'm gradually getting there, but right now I'm leaning more towards the romance. Yes, there's some hot steamy scenes, but I haven't really gotten into.
So in other words, we're using metaphors like we took her sex and he rubbed it. Okay, all right.
I mean, I've had an editor. I think in this last book, I think I have an editor that changed one of my words to sex. But that was one of my issues with 50 Shades. She kept saying her sex. I'm like, I don't know anybody in their mother that calls their body part sex.
Well, you know, it's appropriate in some cases. In some cases, it isn't. I mean, you know, it depends on how you want to do it. Sometimes you just use that, and sometimes you can be raw. Like in the books that I write, and I don't know if you did know I was an author, or DV was an author. But when we write erotica, I mean, I'm a little rawer than him, I think. Well, no, I don't know. He might be harder than me. But I use those words because people are thinking them anyway. But it just depends on your flavor. Not everybody has to use that. There's a clever way of putting something so sexy without even using those words. We got examples of that, too, when Tiana Levine was on here, who also writes erotica, interracial erotica. And she, I mean, she had us hot as hell on here a couple of weeks ago. You remember that, DV?
Yeah, but you also have to remember that the thing is, there are certain words that even I cringe at, you know, when I read, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, and I know you've been doing this too, where we've all read sections and we're like, oh, that don't even sound right. And as an author, you know, we constantly deal with that. You know, we're constantly in that mode of, does this sound right here? You know, like, and things get, there are words that get overused to the point where people create new words that don't even make sense. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen pleasure box and sugar walls, and you see that crap so much that you're like, I don't want to do that. Then you create some new word that doesn't make sense. And it's just like, God,
like,
why can't you just get back to the basics?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. True, there are only so many words you can use, and it does, I think it's, for at least for me, it goes with what I'm trying to do with the book. You know, what I'm trying to do with the story. Am I trying to make the story soft and delicate, or am I trying to make it rough and, you know, hard and things of that nature? Depends on what type of words you're going to find in my story.
Exactly. And it's the tone of the story that dictates, you know, the verbiage and the word use. You know, you're not going to have a romantic story with, you know, words like fucking and asshole and, you know, stuff like that, because it kind of undermines what you're trying to say. So,
I know, but
you know,
it depends on what's going on in the scene as well, not just the sex.
Yeah.
What leads up to the sex and where is it going to go after the sex depends on what type of word you use during the sex. So I understand that. I do. And everybody's flavor. We have another call.
We talk about making love and this, that, and the other, and sometimes you just want somebody to be raunchy with you. Even in love,
right.
So sometimes you have to sell those words in.
Right. Well, we got another call. I'm gonna see if this call has a question. The 773 area code. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Cotton.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Doing the planet now.
show. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you, because we know you've been doing some traveling and doing some things. So welcome to the show, and just want to let you know that we're broadcasting actually out of Dallas, Texas right now.
Oh, wow.
And we're speaking, speaking to Ms. Lynn Davis.
Oh, hi, Ms. Lynn Davis.
And we're speaking with, Ms. Lynn Davis. She is our author this evening, and she's an erotic author. And Ms. Cotton is an erotic poet, even though she doesn't call herself that. She is the spoken word.
Oh, my God, I am not an erotic poet.
She's a spoken word poet. Well, not spoken word, but the soft-spoken poet. Spoken word would be an insult, and I don't want to do that. So we're going to go forth from this point. And Ms. Davis, do you have if somebody wanted to get books from you, or if they wanted to have you come do a book signing or something like that, how would they be able to get you to do that?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
If you were going to do a book signing, or people wanted to get your books to read them, how would they be able to get that?
Well, basically, they can go to my website, LynnDavisWrites.com. Or they can email me at Vicki Vail, which is my Lerotica name, Vicki Vail Writes at gmail.com.
So why can't we ain't using that name tonight? Why are we using Lynn Davis?
Well, no, Lynn Davis is the name that I published all of my books under. But on Lerotica, I'm also known as Vicki Vail. That's how I started out.
So why didn't you like Batman Vicki Vail?
I'm just wondering.
Yes, Batman's Vicki Vail.
Was there a reason that you didn't want to use that pseudonym for your books?
Well, I kind of, when I started, I wasn't sure if I wanted people to know that I wrote erotica. So Vicki Vail, Lois Lane was taken. So Vicki Vail was the one I selected. But then when I decided that I wanted to publish a book, I wanted it to be published in my name.
Okay, well, you can have a pseudonym and still get all the rights under your real name. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. You did it the way you wanted to, so I'll just leave it at that. So they'll look at you under Lynn Davis, which sounds like a pseudonym to me. But anyway, I want to know if that damn picture is you or not. You're trying to keep secrets and shit.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Why, don't worry, I can't come after you. I'm not Hispanic or anything. No, this is an inside joke type thing. It's fine.
Well, I may want chocolate one day, whatever.
So you want chocolate?
I lose again because I'm not even chocolate, man. You sure enough ain't.
Well, look, I don't discriminate. Whether you vanilla, chocolate, caramel, hey. I taste the rainbow.
You taste the rainbow?
Here's my question. No.
You taste it, all right? No, anyway, here we go. So, Cotton, we got you. Our subject this evening we were going to get into later on, and we're not through yet, Lynn, so please, if you could, would you like to spend the rest of your time with us? This is a two-hour show, so hopefully, because we got more questions for you, we would like very much if you would stick around with us, because we want people to be able to get your books. We want to talk a little bit more to you and kind of have your insight on different subjects that we talk about on the show. So would that be okay?
Are you talking to Lynn?
I am talking to Lynn. I'm sorry, I feel bad.
Yeah.
I was asking her if she wanted to stick around.
Yes, that's fine. I can stick around.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you one more question before we go to the next topic, though. You have a significant other, and how did he feel about you writing erotica?
He's actually supportive. He's my manager.
Okay, that works. All right, we'll just leave it at that. Husband, boyfriend, sex partner, what?
Don't answer that question. Well, not husband, but the other two work.
Okay, that works. All right, so we're going to get back on you because you're trying to keep shit stupid. One thing about erotic fiction writers, you got to be raw as a motherfucker. You can't be holding shit back. You ain't got to tell the truth. You can lie. It's fiction, right? Anyway, here we go. Now, the next subject we're going to talk about that was brought up that we wanted to hit because this is involving one of my frat brothers. And the subject was, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the news as far as the incident with Don Lemon on CNN, who was talking about sagging pants and all this stuff, right? And then we had Russell Simmons come in and said that he was a damn slave. What is your cousin, D.D.? What do you think about that? I don't understand the whole incident behind that, why he felt like Don Lemon was siding with, what's that guy, the one that everybody hates on Fox?
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly, yeah. He said that he accused Don Lemon of following along with him because, you know, he said that he was supporting him as far as black men walking around using the N-word or saying nigga or whatever and having their pants hanging off. And he said that because he was telling the black man that he shouldn't do that, that he was agreeing with him and being a slave to the white man. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, when we were talking about this earlier, I basically said, like, Don Lemon, he kind of, I don't even know what I want to say, because when I first read the article, I was mad. Because, not because, you know, he sided with Bill O'Reilly, simply because he basically cited things that he felt like black people should do it in order to better themselves, but they didn't, but everything he said didn't really play into what, you know, he was trying to talk about. I don't agree with Russell Simmons in the same breath, simply because I do believe that we are all in control of our own destinies, but I have always stood fast in this belief that even though we are in control of our own destinies, in order for one race to understand another race, there has to be an understanding between them. There are white people who have to acknowledge that there are going to be black people that are angry. There are black people that have to acknowledge that, look, in order to be better, we have to do better. The problem is that they spend so much time fighting with Don Lemon and Russell Simmons, they miss the point. The bottom line is that, yes, they are closing schools and building prisons. Yes, they are black people have fallen to the bottom tier when it comes to politics, when it comes to education, when it comes to all of the things that, you know, most of the other groups are getting. But in the same token, we fight amongst each other so much, and we are so ready to be rebellious that even if somebody says, hey, this is a way to better yourselves, we slap their hands and be like, we'll do it on our own, which is why I was explaining to somebody why black people still say the N-word. We don't say it because, as a generalization, black people say the N-word not because, and the most ignorant thing I ever heard is we learning to make it ours. We turn it into something of power, and then no. You say it because you know white people can't say it. And if white people can't say it, black people feel that's one thing on planet Earth that they have over white people. And that's it. I promise you that if white people is like, you know what, say it as much as you want, we'll leave it alone, have a great day, there would be far less use of the N-word simply because now we can't lord it over them anymore.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
and I don't agree with you all the time, but that one I'm going to have to agree with. But, you know, today I'm going to tell you, I reposted this letter that everybody knows about. Well, a lot of people don't. I reposted that letter today because I wanted people to reread that and understand that a lot of these things that we do, if we would just take and not fall into a lot of these things that people say or whatever, we could find ourselves seeing what the real ploy is. And with that Willie Lynch letter, it does tell you, even though it was written back in 1772 by Willie Lynch, stating on how to keep us in the position that we're in by using ourselves against each other. And we've been doing that for years. It's still going on, you know, having lights against darks and all of that. And it's still working. And this is a perfect case of that. I mean, instead of them saying, okay, we got this, we see. Because I don't think with Don Lemon, not because he's a frat brother or anything, but what he said was nothing wrong. I mean, it's something that could have been said anywhere, whether O'Reilly said something or not. But just because O'Reilly said it, and he happened to say it after the fact, and it wasn't even the same thing. All Don was saying was that we need to get ourselves together so we can stop looking, portraying ourselves in a manner that people think we are anyway. And that's all he was really trying to say. And I don't understand what Russell Simmons, what the fuck he was talking about, really. You know, that's why I called him a blood anyway with his ass. I mean, you know.
But it's true. It doesn't, you know, like I know. It doesn't matter how well you dress up a turd. If people believe it's a turd, it's going to be a turd. You know, and that's
right.
The thing that we have to realize, that it doesn't matter how well you do or how far you've come. If there is a section of the population that will always see you as the N-word, you're not going to change their minds until you change their beliefs, you know, and that's just what it is. You know, if we were racist against Hispanics, the richest Hispanic man could walk into a black neighborhood and want to do things, and we'd still treat him like a second-class citizen. Why? Because even though he changed his looks, we still haven't changed our minds on how they are. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And no matter how far you go down the ladder, whether you go from whites to blacks and blacks to Hispanics and Hispanics to Native Americans, whatever, there are always going to be people that hold those negative stereotypes, those negative connotations, those negative beliefs. And usually those are going to be the people with the power. So the people with the power tell you what to believe, and you're kind of like, yeah, that's right. And so it becomes what you believe now. So until you change that, we're going to constantly be dealing with the same things. So no matter how well we do or how far we push ourselves or how much we overcome, if you don't change the minds of the people who are, you know, who essentially are, you know, the leaders of your country or the leaders of even your business, you don't change their perceptions of you, you ain't going nowhere, no matter how much good you do. So that's where I disagree with Don Lemon. Not that we don't do things wrong, because that is wholly correct. We shoot ourselves in the foot. But at the same time, even though we shoot ourselves in the foot, other people have to recognize and have to realize that oppression, simply because we're not hanging from trees, doesn't make racism not exist. It doesn't make, you know, or simply because women, you know, are allowed to vote, doesn't mean that sexism and misogyny doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you have to come to grips with these things.
Okay, let's see what the ladies think about this. They're in the character of who... address their opinion, starting with our guest. Lynn, what you've been hearing, what we've been kind of talking about, do you have an opinion or any statements you'd like to say on that?
Actually, I kind of agree with, you know, just because it's not in your face doesn't mean it's not there. We'll always have some type of racism, sexism. All of that will always be there. I think that we need to work on a better way of working things out, I guess. We've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go. That's my opinion.
Okay. Todd, I know you got something to say, baby.
Welcome back.
I was really just listening. I didn't, you know, I didn't see that. I'm just kind of picking up what you guys are saying, because I didn't see this thing that you're talking about, nor have I heard it. So I don't like the racism conversation too much, because I just think it's just sometimes I get overworked and it's used too much.
Okay. All right, well, I'll take that. That works. Basically, I just think that the bottom line, in my opinion, is we just need to take a look at what we're doing. It's okay to have free speech and all that, but I think we need to take a look at stuff like that. I think we need to, instead of coming out and bashing people, which citizens don't really come out that much or say much anyway. But the thing is to do it like that and say he's a slave to the white man because he agreed with, or just came out and said about the pants hanging off and all that. I mean, for years, other people have been saying that. I mean, we got, you know, Al Sharpton, a lot of folks saying things about kids walking around with the pants and where it comes from with your pants hanging off and all that. But just because he said that on TV, that becomes an issue that you're Uncle Tom or you're this and that, because you agree that you want us to be better, to dress in a manner that will make us be more acceptable. I mean, I don't know. It's just what it is. I mean, like you said, there's racism in everyone. No matter what you do, there's to me, at least when it was back in the day, when it was more blatant and it was out in the front, you knew who you stood with people when they came at you. Now you got all this stuff where people will, this inside, what I call inside racism, where they'll come at you in a manner where they act like they're cool with you and then really are talking about you and they're dogging you or whatever, or they might keep you from getting this promotion or whatever or something like that, but then they're in your face like, well, I'm not racist, and I don't, you know, but then they turn around and you know, and that's on both sides, not just white. That's on both sides. I mean, blacks have done that to others as well, so we can't say that we're the only ones getting discriminated. So I'm just, that's all I'm saying as far as that goes. But, you know, what we're going to do, too, Lynn, do you have some erotica that you want to read to us later on here in the next segment? Because I know you got some stuff you might want to get us aroused with.
I guess I could get on my computer and pull out some stuff, but I didn't intend on reading today.
Can you do that? I mean, do you have, is that kids in the background at your place? I don't want you to read in front of them.
They just went outside, so it's cool.
Okay, so you'll be able to load some sexual shit out of it. Well, get yourself prepared. While you're doing that, because the next segment is going to start in about 14 minutes, but I want to kind of get Cotton, because she's been out traveling and all over the world here, and we just want to kind of get a little bit of what's going on with her while you're getting yourself prepared, if you don't mind. Okay, Cotton, what's going on?
Hey, everybody. Actually, right now I'm in Chicago. I just did the open mic. I was a feature, Poetry's Love Letter, last Friday, and that was a really great show. I'm looking at actually doing a book signing here probably in the next month or two. You know, you can actually get Seduction Slip on Kindle for 99 cents right now. I did have a promotion where it was free for a couple of days, and I'm just really moving forward. I have an erotic show that I'm doing in Columbus, Ohio, on September the 13th, and I'm looking at scheduling myself on some more radio shows and things like that. But it's been a little bit slower than normal.
Yeah, we're sexy is doing okay, but anyway, so you've been doing some traveling and moving around and getting that going. I see I do have Seductive Lips, and I have been reading it. And I think it's an awesome book. I had no doubt in that as far as your poetry goes. So I'm going to be doing a review real soon on your book once I finish it.
Did you get to the Something New yet?
Did I do what?
Did you get to the Something New yet?
Something New? I haven't. Is that one of the poems there? No, I haven't got to that yet. But tell us about it.
That is about anal sex, basically, bottom line.
Allowing I'm going to turn to page right now, since you said that. Let's turn to that page right now, since you said that. Because you're talking about ass fucking. Okay. DV, what do you think about that? Are you still there, DV, or are you gone? Okay, DV, it must have failed. Everybody else is still here, right?
I'm still here.
Okay. Well, so that's about anal sex. And what made you decide to write about something new with anal sex? Is it something you tried, or is it something that you just wanted to talk about? Cotton, can you hear me?
What was the question?
I was saying, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying, what made you decide to talk that subject? Was it just something you tried lately, or is it something new, or you just want to experience?
No, it's not new to me.
Well, I'm just asking. I mean, you don't have to be you.
It's not new to me. No, I'm just saying. No, you asked it. You asked the question.
I did, didn't I?
So, yes.
I did.
No, it's not new to me. It's because you think about it, because a lot of women will say, no, he can't go back there. He can't touch me back there. I won't allow it, blah, 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 blah. But then there are women that would like to try it, but they're afraid. So, you know, but you don't want to just do that with anybody. So you and DV definitely helped with that piece.
Yeah. So, Lynn, what do you think about that? Since we jumped from subject to subject and now we're on ass fucking, What do you think about that? You being an erotic writer and knowing a little bit of ass and I'm sure pussy eating and all that. Tell us your side of that.
I love to read about it. Will I ever try it? Probably not. Am I afraid of it? Probably not.
You love to read about it. Okay. How come everybody always try to act like they ain't never fucked in the head?
I ain't never said I ain't never tried it. I just said there's doo-doo back there. All right?
No,
so it's done
a lot of women want people to know that they've been fucked in the ass. There's nothing wrong with it. What's the deal?
But if you haven't, you haven't, right? My ass is a virgin.
Look, I'm going to tell you like this. It is taboo amongst us. The very first time I did it, a white girl offered it. And she was just like, I don't want to get pregnant, so let's do it back there. I'm like, okay. You know, so the thing is, it was kind of thrust upon me. But
why is it always a white girl guards you and shit?
Because at that point in my life, black girls were not doing it at all. And, you know, it was not even part of my mind.
Maybe if it was high school or some shit like that. Tell the
part about what it means to you for a woman to allow you back there, especially a woman that you're involved in a committed relationship with.
Well, I mean, when you put it on the table and all things of what you do, now you want Devi to answer that or you want me to answer?
I want you both to answer that.
Okay, well, most of the time, I'm going to tell you, at this time in the game, I think, most of the time when a woman is letting you do that, she wants you only. And you are getting that privilege because when you go there, you're telling her that she is the only one that you're going to be with. Unless you get some freak like Devi was talking about that just loves to be fucking ass, which is not all the time, but try some. Most of the time when a woman lets you do her ass, she is giving you her. And that means you don't fuck nobody else. That means you're with her only, and you ain't going nowhere. It's about love at that point.
I like that answer.
So, you know, if you're doing that and the dude that gets the ass and he don't take it seriously that way, she's going to fuck his ass up straight out.
That is such a horrible image.
It is a horrible image, but that's what that means. It means you fucked me in the ass. I belong to you only. Your dick is the only one in my ass, and it's the only one that's going to go there. So that means you're not fucking another woman.
Is that, DB, do you agree with that, DB?
I will say this. Okay, here's my disclaimer. There's doo-doo back there, all right? But understand this. That when a woman submits herself, that is 100% vulnerability. And because if it's not something she's tried or even something she's not comfortable with, offering something that she has not offered to somebody else or even in a limited capacity, that's something special. You know, because there's nothing that I can offer her. You know, there's nothing that I personally can offer her that no one, you know, that is on a limited basis. You know what I'm saying? So if it comes to that, I mean, if it ever comes to that, if it's ever offered in that capacity, man, you know, what do you say to that? You know, I mean, at that point, you know what she's offering. It's not her backside. It's essentially, you know, what Red said. Red summed it up. She's offering her. And you have to be cautious, just like with any relationship. It is something that you have to, you know, go slow with. It is not something you can rush into. It is not something that you pound away, you know. That's intimacy at its finest, even though there's doo-doo back there. So...
You are telling this woman that you don't want to do nobody else but her, and if she decides to give you that ass, guess what? if you don't want to keep her around and you don't want to be with her and you don't want to love her and all of that, then don't fuck her in the ass.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
So,
why don't you do that?
So
why you don't do that?
What about
the thing?
What?
So let me understand this.
What about the ladies?
I'm not the ass type girl. So if I give you my body, and I'm talking, you know, vagina, pussy, if I give you that, that's not enough to keep you home? You gon'
No, it's to keep you home. It's not a point about keeping you home. What we're talking about is the whole total commitment of you and him. If you decide to give that piece, then there's a lot of women that don't, but obviously they will.
But it comes down to this.
There's some women that you have to ask, it could be whatever. It's going to be something. But the thing is this. You're giving yourself, your whole self. It doesn't mean that he's going to not go out and do something, because there's a lot of men that don't want to fuck in the ass, okay? But the thing is when you do that, you're telling this man, I have given you completely everything I can give you. There's nothing else I can give you. I have given you all my love, my ass, my body, my everything. And if you play with that, the ass is fucked up. You just can't play with fucking the ass.
It's almost a bigger statement to say that it's some honor in you allowing him to go in the back door, if that's something he wants to do.
It's not something that a lot of women
just don't want to do that, and that's okay. And some men don't want to do that, and that's okay. But if you because for the most part, most men, 100% of those, you're going in through the vagina area. So that's the norm. But the not so norm is to say, can I go in through the back door? And if she says, yeah, he's like, dang, really? Like, he feels some honor in that you're giving him that other extra part of you.
You're absolutely correct. That's why you can't play with that. Now, there are some women that just want to get fucked in the ass. Whatever. They're just what they are. I'm not going to call them any names or say they're out of line or anything. But if you're in a relationship committed to one person, exclusive with that person, and ass fucking comes into it, then you better not be trying to fuck nobody else.
Right.
That right there crosses the line on that shit. So if you ain't trying to marry her or nothing that shit, I suggest men, unless she just likes to be fucking ass, don't be trying to fuck every woman you get with in the ass just because you want to fuck in the ass, unless you're trying to keep this woman. That's all I'm saying. And if I'm wrong, BB, too.
No, man, you're not wrong at all. And like we said, you know, if a woman gave, you know, her body, she said, okay, well, look, you know, I will sleep with you, you know, and even if she had her second virginity, she decides she don't want to have sex until she's married, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of like that second virginity, or even virginity itself, is kind of like allowing a man into your backside, because it's not something that you give to everyone. And the only people that you typically give it to is not the dude that climbed the mountain. You giving it to the dude that, hell, this man done rented a spaceship, flew through the sun, came back, you know, gave you a high five. I mean, this man done moved worlds for you. So if you feel that that's what you want to give him, then more power to you. And you have to realize how epic that is, you know. And especially amongst us, especially among black women, and especially among, you know, really minorities, because when you think about it, there's not a lot of Hispanics that do it. I've heard Asians, you know, kind of go for that, but that's only, you know, word of mouth. You know, I don't have a, you know,
I'm going to tell you from a point of view, as far as the Asian part of that, it's the same like with the sisters. If you do them in the ass, you with them. It's just a sacred
bottom line
thing. Yeah, it's sacred, you know, because it's something.
Remember back
like
in the
90s. It's a ride or die thing. If you do that, it's like I'm with you for the rest of your life. We doing this shit. Nobody else can get in all my holes, only you. So if you fuck that shit up.
That's it. That's the thought behind it. Like, that's the object behind it. That's why I wrote that piece, because I wanted
to reflect on that there are women out there who think about that type of thing, and then there are men who are like, really, you know, you going to let me? Really? Like, okay. So then I wrote this, you know.
It's no different than, remember back in the day when black men were adamant against going down on women? They're like, no way, no how, it'll never happen. You know,
yeah,
and then,
buzzing shit,
right,
yeah.
You know, it's not even a thought in my mind. I ain't never going to do it. But then they met that woman, and, you know, all of a sudden everything changed. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go down to this woman. I'm looking from a rooter to a tooter. I don't care. You know, it's kind of like that aspect.
Yeah, and it was even Italians that said, you know, I'm talking about mobsters. They never would admit eating pussy back then either,
right,
because they thought that made them less of a mob man to do that shit.
They just went about to tell nobody else.
We didn't talk about that. It was just, we do what we do in the bill, but we don't talk about eating pussy because it makes us less of a man. But of course, that ain't the way it is now, but, you know, that is true. If you look up the history of that, they thought that. And like I said, growing up in the times that I did, 60s and 70s, black men just wasn't telling nobody they was eating pussy. They was like, no, that's a white man thing, and we ain't doing that shit. They didn't even call it fucking pussy. It was cock back then. And I don't know how it came cock for men today. I don't know that shit. But anyway, they call white dick the cock. I don't know how it switched from that. We used to call pussy cock back in the day. I don't know how that shit switched over. But anyway, that's another damn subject, another story, another show. But interesting, Cotton. I'm going to have to go in and take a look at that poem now. Now that I know exactly what you mean in that. And
yeah.
Now, Lynn, do you have any ass fucking in your book? Are you still there? Did I run you away? I'm not here. She's still here on the line. I hope I didn't get rid of her. Okay, we'll come back to her. So what motivated you, Cotton, to write that?
Because I wanted to talk about the anal sex, but I wanted to talk about it in a light to where it wasn't raunchy or it didn't sound nasty. So when you read that, it's almost a mini poem. A mini story, because it's longer than any of the poems that I've written, most of the poems that I've written. And so I wanted to reflect on that anal sex is not necessarily a raunchy or dirty or a nasty thing, but it can also be a very beautiful thing. And this woman wanted to try it out. This was something new for her. She had never done before. And so when I spoke about this,
so what are some of the people's reactions that read your book? What did they say about it?
Oh my goodness! I've had at least one or two women say that it's more of a book for a man, but that's really not the case. You gotta really open your mind up, because there's a poem in there called a Secret Society, and you know, but it's not. It's really not just for men. I wrote this book because I wanted women to be aroused too. And, you know, only there's always going to be a few that, but for the most part, people really, really love the book. And I'm surprised, but not surprised, but I'm, you know, happy that they do at the same time. Now there was one, I didn't ask for anybody to edit my book because I didn't want them to. If I wanted it edited, I would have called an editor, but I didn't do that. So I had this one guy says to me, you know, the punctuation and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, thanks for your opinion. I didn't ask you to edit it. I just asked you to review it. I didn't ask you to do anything else. They want you to tell me about my pronunciation or whether it need a punctuation here or exclamation mark there or a period there. I didn't
know that. That's how people review your books. A lot of times, they're the damn English expert and shit. and how they think books are supposed to go and all that. And erotica is a different thing. I mean, sure, you got to have punctuation and all that. But what? Why do they do that? I don't understand why. And that's a whole other.
Because they're over. They're trying to overdo something that you didn't ask them to do. Like, I didn't ask you to edit. I have people that could edit my books for me. I didn't need you to edit it. As a matter of fact, I didn't even ask him to review it. I just posted it. That, you know, actually, Joey Pickney posted, if you want to read this book, go ahead and get it, blah, 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 and then give Cotton a review. And then this gentleman comes on and says, he sends me, he privately messages me. He says, well, I didn't want to give you a negative review, but the punctuation and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I didn't ask you to edit my book, dude. Like, that's what I wanted to say to him, but I didn't. I just said, you know what, thank you for your feedback. That's all I can say. Because, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. And if he had gave a negative, I wouldn't have cared. Just give a review. Like, I don't expect to get all, I mean, so far I've gotten 5 stars across the board, but I'm not expecting for everybody to give me 5 stars. I would love that. I mean, that would be beautiful. That's in a perfect world, but I don't expect that. I expect that people are going to give me their honest review of what they thought of the actual poems in the book, not to edit the book, because I don't want an edit and ask for an editor. I just wanted you to review and tell me what you thought of the book.
That's the problem with a lot of these people who do reviews. They get in and they want to slam you with your editing and all this stuff, when that's not even what they're supposed to be doing. But they use that as reason. And I think now they have come up with ways to just, that's all they look at. They don't even care about the story anymore like they should. They're just wanting to edit your book and say it's Jack, this word wasn't right, or you didn't put the comma here. Well, it's garbage.
Right.
I hate when people do that. And it's the same thing with Shades of Grey. Now, Shades of Grey, we were talking about that earlier. That book,
as much as
had over,
as much
over
as
hate,
they got the right to do it.
Huh?
I said, as much as we hate it, they got the right to do it. Whenever you put yourself out there.
I know, but what I'm saying is a lot of times I think they're taking that to the aspect of editing is. They think reviewing is editing. And that's not what you're asking them.
No.
You're not asking them to edit. You ask them to review the story. But a lot of times
right.
They're taking it as editing.
Wait,
we
reviewing,
want editing,
like, not saying, but not saying poetry falls under the same umbrella. But reviewing and editing go hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? Because if they have a problem reading it, that's going to affect how they feel about it. Let's just be honest.
Okay,
I'm saying it may not be right, but you have to understand that whenever we talk about urban fiction and it's poor editing, you know, we're all jumping down their throats. When the truth of the matter is, like, if you're going to put out something that's not, you know, that's a story and not about symbols and symbolism, then you have to master, you know, edit or pay somebody who master it. We can't jump down people's throats if they don't like what they read. So what? You know,
I think that was part of my issue is that I don't even think he read the whole thing. I think he just kind of went through a couple and then came back with the punctuation thing. You know, it was just really quick. And I said, you know, and it went, like I said, it would have been okay if he had just said what his review was. But to come back with me with this punctuation, don't do that. I didn't ask for that. I wrote the book, so I know that there aren't a lot of punctuation because I didn't want that in this particular book. So my thing is, like, for because there are reviewers out there, I mean, there are editors out there. If I was looking for an editor, I wouldn't be asking regular people to review my book. Like, I don't even know who this guy was, but I wouldn't be asking. I would ask an editor to edit my book for me publicly. I just want you to tell me if you like the stories in the book or not. But I understand your point as well, DV. But I don't, like I said, I don't know who this person was, but it just seems like when you ask somebody to do one thing, they do the very opposite of what, if if they feel like they have some clout or if they've done reviewing or editing before. But the normal person just goes in, reads the book, tells you if they like it or not, and that's it. You know,
well,
you know what I mean?
As
far as reviewing is concerned.
I agree with both of you, and this is what I'm going to say. My thing is I think a lot of times these reviewers, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying, DV, the editing, they want to do that. But I think that they're missing the point when they do this. When they review, it's just like Cotton said, they should be trying to review the story itself. I think a lot of times when you get a review back and it's the only thing they got to say about it is that the punctuation was messed up or something like that, then what did they really do? Did they read the story?
Right. Because he never said, the stories are great. You know, he never said the stories are great or the stories were crappy. He just said the punctuation wasn't right. And I'm like, okay, well, did you at least like the stories that were in there? I mean, I don't know because he never said. And mind you, these are the people that I asked to review my book aren't professional reviewers. They're just friends who I reached out to and said, hey, the book is free. Can you read it and then let me, you know, review and give me a review on Amazon? That's all I said. I didn't reach out to people that do professional reviewing or anything like that. So, like I said, I don't know who this person was, but I did appreciate the feedback because that lets me know that the next time if I see him coming, then I'm not even going to, no, I don't want you because I didn't, you're not going to do what I need done. What I need done is for you to read the story and tell me if it's a good story or not, and then move on. That's all I need you to do.
Well, my thing is this, I know you're going to come in. Hold up. What I'm saying is all you got to say is this comma wasn't this and this wasn't here and that word was wrong there and all this. If that's all you got in the review, then it ain't doing me no good, especially when you know you've been in. All right, it's got to get edited. There's mainstream authors that their shit is not all edited correctly as well. There's mistakes in their books as well. But my thing is, you don't hear that with them. All you hear about is how great the story was, blah, 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 and all this stuff. But as soon as you're an independent or a self-publisher, they always focus on whether you got your commas in the right place or whether you edited this or whatever you did with that and all that. They do that on purpose in their reviewing. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I don't want to hear all this stuff about, well, you know, you, this and that, whatever is good, whatever. Okay, to a point it is. But at least have something to say about the development of the story, the character development, something like that.
Right.
Let me know that, too.
Right.
You know, come on. A lot of that has got to do with
it. It's helpful if you're going to give it to me, give it all to me. Don't just give me the things that you found that was wrong. Let me know if you read the story. The story wasn't good. Say the story wasn't good. You know, tell me that part.
Danny wrote, or Eric Derone Dickey, or Carl Weber, or somebody that wrote all their books, all of them are perfect. You can't tell me that. So,
of course they're not.
I understand y'all may be upset, but I am what they call a technical reader. I get enjoyment by not having to stop and reread certain sections of a book 4 or 5 times to understand it. What we need to understand is that continuation of the story, continuity of the story is important. If you, at any point you have to stop and reread certain sections, you're going to be frustrated. And to some people, that is just the means to the end. I don't want to read this book anymore if I have to keep reading over the same part to understand what it says.
Yeah,
that is just the nature of what it is. It doesn't make them, or wait, it doesn't make them bad readers, and it certainly doesn't make them bad people. It just is what it is. There are always going to be people who cannot get past the errors in a book. There are always going to be people who are
saying, and that's okay,
I'll let y'all say what y'all need to say. Let me go ahead and finish. There are always going to be people like that. There are always going to be fanboys. No matter how terrible your book is, there are going to be people who fall over themselves and say, I love it. I can't wait to set part 2, part 3, part 15. So there are the established people already got those fanboys. They've already established themselves as critical successes, and no matter what they do, they can crap in a book and smear it, and people are like, this was the best thing ever put in a book. I love it. That just is what it is. But when you're on that bottom tier, expect a bigger eye to be on us. That is just the nature of the business. They're always going to put a bigger eye on us. Why? Because they don't want to see us succeed. The only way you can continue succeeding is to be the best and put out the best. Now, like I said, because I'm not big on poetry books and things like that, I don't actually remember reading poetry books like with punctuations. That's just me. You know,
you don't. That's my point. You don't.
The Odyssey is a big ass poetry book that is like 500 pages long. All right, it's an ode, but there are no real punctuations. There's a punctuation like once every 20 pages. You know, so, I mean, I don't know if this guy or this person realized that, or if he was just one of those technical readers that needs to see periods and commas and semicolons everywhere. I don't know.
Right.
You know, but
I don't. And that was my thing. I'm not sure. But like I said, it's okay that he had that opinion, but to give it a review based on that didn't make sense to me at all. Like, even if you didn't like, he didn't say whether or not he liked the storyline, he didn't like the storyline. He didn't mention anything about the stories, period. He just said the punctuations. And I'm just like, okay, well, did you read this? Like, did you, the first poem that you read, was it, and I'm not even sure if he knew that he was reading a poetry book. I don't even know. Like, he didn't give a lot of feedback on the book, the content itself, except for the punctuation. And like I said, that's fine. But at least poetry books aren't like novels. They aren't like nonfiction books, you know, stories. This isn't that at all. So it is a lot different, because you could read one of my poems and get something out of it. Then the next person could read and get something totally different than what I said. But when I wrote it, it wasn't the way either of you thought it came out. You know what I mean? Because I get that
right.
A lot. Well, did you? No, that's not really, no. But if you felt that's how you felt when you read it, that's great. It doesn't matter to me. But like I said, it's just, that was just one person. No big deal. I just, when he said that, I was just, okay, I don't even understand all of this. But I pretty much so far, I've gotten 5 stars across the board with this particular book.
Okay.
Did you read the book?
I don't know.
Yes, I did.
Did you get it, Dee? Okay.
I read mine the first day. I got it. I think I told you. I sent you messages like I read it, and you just never responded. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I didn't.
But then
I didn't
told
get
me
it.
Your phone, right? Red told me about your phone.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
Okay, so Lynn, let's get to our guest. Let me ask you this now, because I'm getting ready to ask you to read something from your book. I hope that you had a chance to get that. But what do you think about that? And then we'll get into what you have for us.
What do I think about the editing?
Yes, or anything. Have you had any issues with your book or anybody saying that they didn't like, you know, with some of the reviews? I'm sure you've gotten some reviews on your 3 books.
Yeah, and I tend to fall under what Cotton was saying. It's kind of, to me, it's discouraging when I give you my book. If you say you want to review my book, and then when you come back, all you have to talk about is punctuation, you know, and, you know, I mean, I understand if it's hard to read, then, yeah, I need to know that so I can go in and fix it and make it flow better and all of that. But you don't tell me anything about my characters. You don't tell me anything about the storyline. I'm not even really sure that you actually read the book. I have an issue with that. So, yeah, that comes even in, you know, the fiction books that I write, especially in erotica, because there are certain, I mean, we all write erotica, but there are certain things that you say and it doesn't really require a period, or you might be using some slang, you know, with urban fiction and stuff, you might use slang words. And when you use those words, they can't be punctuated the way regular English can be. And so when you kind of, when you're a stickler on that and you kind of, I just kind of, I'm like, okay, no, not to use you ever again. Especially if I'm just saying, look, this is, you know, this is a rough draft. I just need to know, are you feeling it? And then you come back and you got all these other issues, but you never tell me about the story. If you're feeling the story, if you're not feeling the story, if you like the character, if it's a strong character, you know, if you thought the character was too weak, I don't know none of that when I walk away. It doesn't help me with my writing, especially being a new writer. You know, I kind of look for people that are willing to talk about the storyline, willing to talk about what's going on in the book as opposed to my punctuation. Because if I need it, I mean, when I hire an editor, I expect for them to make it okay. Reviewers, I don't look to them to give me that type of advice unless it's one of those where I had to read the sentence 10 times before I could move forward. Then, yeah, I need to know that.
As she was just speaking, it just dawned on me that, you know, some of these people could be one of those people that just looks at the pages and don't see any punctuations and say, okay, I can't read this. You know, we don't know because there's no other feedback being given outside of you don't see any punctuation.
It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Because of the new craze of the last couple of years of self-publishing and how it's been easier now for people to publish books and get them out with all the technology that's available, people are targeting people that are not mainstream, and they're just doing this because they can. I think that, and I've been saying this forever, I think that if people are going to review your books, they should have some type of professional something, at least, to show that they know how to do this, besides just some book club and they decide they want to do it.
That's basically saying that if you don't have professional credentials, you can't read a book.
Let me finish. I think that I got to get you back for that one. Okay. Now, like I said, I understand you disagree. I got you. But my thing is I think it just needs to be somebody that knows a little bit more about, like just like Ben said, with the wording, the type of words you use. Certain things don't need punctuation, like she said. And there's have some kind of a background on the mechanics of writing, even though you're writing. Most of the books that we write don't really use the mechanics that you learn in English anyway. They tell you to write a certain way in an English class, and then you write against all of that. We know that. But a lot of times people who have these degrees in English and stuff, or whatever the case is, they'll take your stuff and tear it up because they know they have that background. So go ahead, Didi. I know you're going to kill me on that one.
But no, but think about what we're saying. We're saying if you don't have correct credentials, you shouldn't review a book. Are you freaking serious? If you don't have a college degree, you shouldn't be able to read a book. You know,
no, that's not what I'm...
Bottom line is this. We may not like the things that they have to say. We may not agree with the things that they have to say. But they damn sure had a right to say them. We don't like, because if we focus on that one idiot that doesn't say anything and don't pay attention to the hundreds of people who are congratulating but also telling us the things that we need to prove on, then what is really the point of being an author? We can't worry about the knuckleheads. They just are who they will be. The only people we can focus on, the people say, look, I loved your book, but this is what I loved. You know, this is what I saw wrong. Or I loved your book entirely. Or, look, I wanted to like your book, but this is why I couldn't. Those are the people that are important. The people that say, well, the editing was bad and I couldn't read it, and that's all they say, we can't worry about them. They're not important and not relevant because they're not helping us get better. They just want to really just leave that bad mark, you know, the doo-doo stain on your clean wall. And that's what it is. There are always going to be people like that. So ultimately, yes, they deserve a voice. I may not like it. I may disagree with it. But they say what they had to say. Next time I go in, I'm going to think about that one thing that they say and say, you use it as motivation. But I'm also use the bigger motivation is going to be all those people who patted me on the back and say, we can't wait till your next one.
Okay. I think we beat that horse enough. Okay.
Very good point.
Let's get into Lynn. Lynn, do you have something you want to read for us so we can say that it's fucked up? No, I'm just playing. So we can edit it.
We need to review. We're going to review it, and we're going to let you know if there's any punctuation.
Your reading is already bad. So you read bad.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a bad
you
reading.
You read bad.
Yeah.
No, but we would love to hear something from your book, please, if you don't mind.
I would love to, but some things in my household have changed, so I'm not able to read the book.
Okay, well, then that's okay. That's all right.
Because I got a grandma here now and some other people showed up unexpectedly.
Yeah, you
can
do that.
I don't want to make my grandmother disown me. So.
Well, you may see have a stroke. You can cause your grandmother strokes. We'd be coming, like, you know she killed her grandma. Mm, mm, mm.
Well,
I was ridden out of the will for sure if she knew her baby was writing that kind of stuff. So next time, I promise I will have it together, and I will not be in a place where I have to censor myself, put it that way.
Not a problem.
Okay, it happens to us.
Cotton, okay, I'll tell you what, Cotton. We're going to put it on you. The poem that you wrote in this book, in Seductive Lips, about the anal sex piece, how long is it?
It's kind of long. You can read it if you want to.
No, I want you to read a piece of it right now.
I don't know
where you can
get this book.
You have it in front of you? Okay. Where does that get you today? You're not getting anyone.
It's at softspokenpoet.com.
Softspoken.
Okay. BB, what are you working on now? Because you haven't put nothing out in a minute, man. What's up?
I know. And it's going to continue like that. No, but seriously, I changed some work hours around and giving me some more free time because, you know, basically in the last year and a half, I was busting my hump. So, you know, life is a funny companion, but now
right.
I have some free time. So I basically figure, look, it's do or die time. Either I'm going to write this book by the end of this year or I'm just not going to write anything ever. So, I mean, that's kind of the ultimatum I placed on myself.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I know I've been doing a lot of traveling and a lot of things, too. And it's been getting into my writing as well. I'm trying to have another. I have an anthology, and I talked to them about that. That should be any day now. But the book that I'm working on now, I'm trying to have up by November, Sensuous Whispers. I'm hoping to have that out. I don't know, though, man. I've been struggling with this one for some reason. I don't know. It's just. It's been a challenge, and I usually don't have that problem. I mean, this is 15, and I don't know if
you ain't listening to your character. That's what it means. They telling
you
to do something. You're
right.
You're
right. I'm not listening. So I need to listen to them because they're telling me shit, and I put it down, and then I don't know. But anyway, we're gonna get it done.
Listen,
come out. What was that again? I'm sorry.
I said, you better listen to damn crazy voices.
Yeah, this book is crazy. I'm trying to get, what the problem is it starts in 1939, and I'm trying to get it to go forth, and it wants to stay in that time frame, and I'm trying to get out of that time frame so I can bring it up to a closer time, you know, up to now, because I'm not trying to make it to a series. But this book is trying to become a series, and I'm trying to get away from writing serial books, you know, where there's two or three books to a series. I'm trying to get away from that because a lot of my books have been a series. Like, I'm trying to not do that. But these characters, they're trying to live and stick around. And they're going to die after this book, or I have to stop somewhere. I can't let them go for it. So I have to figure something out. I mean, not kill them. I mean, I'm going to have to talk to them and tell them, look, we're going to have a conference and say, look, y'all got to get me through this, and y'all can come back later, but right now we're not doing a series. But they trying to stick around for 2 or 3 books. I'm not going to do that. So, I don't know. My characters, I got to talk to them. What do you think about that, Lynn? Do your characters talk to you like that, or you think we should be crazy?
A friggin' time.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They talk all the time. And they be coming to you like, look, I want you to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to do that, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's good because when they're talking, you know, it inspires me to just sit down and, you know, get whatever it is that they're saying out. And you know, it seems to make a good conversation kind of, you know, it's always the dialogue that they give me. They don't really tell me, you know, what's going on in their life kind of thing. But they come and they sit down and, like, you know, one of my characters is, you know, Rhonda Emerson, which is the Entice book. You know, she'll come and she'll say, you know, yesterday me And I know this sounds crazy, so I'm not crazy. But she'll come to me and she'll say, you know,
crazy people say that too.
you know, she'll come to me and she'll say, Roland and I were talking, and this is what we were talking about. And, you know, then I'll just sit down on my laptop, at my computer, on my phone, where, you know, whatever I got, and I'll just start typing out their dialogue and stuff like that. And then it helps me form where that dialogue is going to go, I guess. But, yeah, I just kind of write everything down and then keep the good and throw out the bad.
So do you come with, do you write the book first and then give it a title, or do you write a title and then write the book from the title?
Well, the four books that are coming out, or I should say the three books that are out right now and the next one that's coming out, I kind of titled them and then I wrote the story around the title. But mostly what I do is I write it, and then as I write it and, you know, going through the editing and things of that nature, a title comes to me. At least that's how all of the stuff on Lerotica, that's how it got titled. But the books, I kind of already knew what I wanted to do with them, so I titled them and wrote the story out based on that.
Interesting. Okay, well, I like that.
But what I can tell you is that the In My Dreams book, because, again, I can't remember which one I actually sent to you. I think it was either Dream Lover or In My Dreams. But the In My Dreams book, I did something that I had never seen, or I haven't read anywhere.
You sent me In My Dreams is what you sent me, I believe, yes.
Okay, I took the ending and I made it totally unexpected. So, and I get a lot of people that tell me, you know, while I was going through the book and, you know, the storyline was great, but the ending, I didn't expect that. And so I think that kind of, I think I like doing that. I like throwing a curveball at the end. So I'm pretty sure a lot more of my books are going to have that curve where you think it's going one way, and then you're like, what the f- did she just do, you know, kind of reaction. But if you read the book, you know that it was coming. There was a hint that something wasn't right and it wasn't going to end the way you thought it was.
Okay, here's my question. All right, I got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
How big are your balls that you put a naked woman with tits on the front cover of your novel? Like, I was like, oh, my, the balls on this one. Is she naked? Like, I was like, is that nipple on the cover?
Well, you know, the man's hands are actually covering the breast. I mean, they're covering the breast. So, yeah, but, yeah, I'm kind of, that's the way I think about it, though. I wanted you to know this was in this woman's dreams.
Okay, I got that part.
I'm looking at the pictures, Lynn.
There's no guesswork on that book. There's no guesswork about what you're about to read.
None whatsoever. Look, next time you do a model shoot or a cover shoot, let me know. Because I'll be right there with you. I'm like, you know, that's just not, I think they can do better.
I'm
going to
help you out.
All right. Okay.
Well, I'm looking at the cover, and I do see that, anyway, sure, we can go with that. But I'm looking at this picture of you, man, that you're trying to say ain't you, but I know that's you. Is that you?
Mm-hmm. I believe it is.
Why are you pleading the fifth? Why can't you say that's you? I mean, is it wrong to say that's you?
Well,
you
mean
I would say
that would be
bad. You know what? Because people write. People are drawn to, you know, things like that. They're drawn to the sorted. So if that's you, you better let it be known, because people are like, ooh. Because let me tell you, the thing is, people, when you write erotica, people always.
You talking about the cover of my book?
I think Red
no,
is, but
about the book of Lynn Davis that you got on your page or on Amazon and say this is Lynn Davis. They're looking at this picture.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not looking at that. No, like people will always ask you. Oh, go ahead, Red.
No, I was just asking, is that her or not? Because people think that's Lynn Davis.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Is that not Lynn Davis? Vicki Vale?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm Lynn Davis, the female. Yep, that's me.
She ain't answering the damn question. Okay. Go ahead, DB. Ask her what you want to ask her.
I don't know what you're asking either, man. Like, I'm kind of lost. Maybe y'all are
talking
COVID or
something. Okay, all right. I'm just a dumbass. I don't know what I'm asking. Okay, I got you.
I don't know. Like, no, I'm the dumbass because that flew way over my head. I'm like, okay. But no, like, I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it, y'all. That'll make me sick.
You lost what you was going to say?
I forgot. Y'all got me talking about something else. You know, my brain farted, so.
Damn. That don't happen all the time on this show. That's interesting. DB lost what he was going to say. Damn. We don't get that all the time.
No, like, oh, that's what I was going to say. I remember now.
It is. I knew it was coming back. All right, go ahead.
No, I was going to make a comment. People always, you know, don't, and I guess this is my motto, I never try to use what I look like to sell my books simply because people will do that well enough on their own. You know, they'll imagine what you look like based on your writing. So you don't have to give them a clue as to what you look like, and they'll be surprised. You know, they'll be like, oh, you wrote this. You know, because as men, we catch that a lot. As women, you will certainly catch that a lot because they think if you're pretty, you know, like you and Cotton, like you can't be writing books. You got to be doing something else in life. You know, you're supposed to be doing something else in life. Like there's no prestige in writing.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like,
I think in my situation, my writing life and my professional life, I don't know if that's the good word for it, they are so night and day, you know, that it just seems to me that having that cloak and dagger thing works for me, I guess.
Right. You know, but not only that, it keeps, if people don't know what you look like, it keeps the people you know from be like, oh, so that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? And that's what hurts the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So that's a big component as to why I don't display my, even on Facebook, you'll find a limited number of pictures of me simply because, you know, there are people out there who know me. And I don't mind what I do, but the last thing I need to hear is, you know, from somebody else who I do know, it's like, oh, so that's what you write. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I don't want to have to go through that all over again. So, you know, I'll go to book shows and let them be surprised, let them, you know, say whatever they want to say. But ultimately, let your skill determine, you know, how people perceive you. Because they always judge you by looks, always. From now to the time we die, people always judge you by your look. You know, sometimes you need to let people judge you by your talent. Because they think only two people, ugly people, should only do two things, write books and do the radio. And all of a sudden, you know, those are ugly people professions. And that's what people have in their head automatically, that if you're behind closed doors, you should be jacked up. So, you know, because I hear people say all the time, you know, I hear people say the comment that they have a face made for radio. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, why? You know, there are going to be people who look good and people who don't look good doing everything. But like writing especially, they will all, in their head, they will picture what you look like based on what you write. And sometimes that's fine enough.
Well, the only reason why I was asking was that her or not is because I was going to give her a compliment that she looks nice. Nothing to do with whether she is really the person or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you, for the longest, we know Zane, and she says she hasn't really read any Zane books, but for the longest, it was years before people knew what Zayn really looked like, before they, you know, they just liked her story. They didn't know if she was a man or a woman. And a lot of times when I first started writing, I would put my cover as my profile picture. That's before they started having these, big profile pictures that you now can put on Facebook to go along with your profile picture, or what they call it, a cover picture in the background or whatever. People would always, the characters, the cover on the book was me, and was trying to hit on it and trying to get with it and all kinds of stuff, not knowing that I was a guy. You know, they were trying to maybe blah, 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 and all this stuff, because it just wasn't, and this was back in 2009, they were tripping like that. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
Yeah, Snapper, you know.
And then they found out I was a guy, and, you know, things changed over that. And why had one dude tell me, "You fucked up, man. You fucked up doing this." I said, "I ain't do nothing. You the one started talking to the picture. I ain't never said nothing to you. You was the one that was getting into the damn picture, you know?" That's what it is, a picture on the cover.
So you were
anything
casting
new.
What was the question?
I said you weren't catfishing people.
What do you mean? Like trying to get them to talk to me?
You know, the TV show Catfish, where, you know, people pretend to be something or someone that they're not to get the affection.
No, it was just a cover that was on there for the book at the time, and they saw the woman on there, and they felt like this is who they wanted to talk to, not realizing, and it had Red Snapper. So they put that as being a woman, being a snapper, and she's red bone. And they just started talking to the damn picture. They never looked to see who it was or if it was male or female. They just started getting to the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Facebook was like that. I mean, it's not like it is now where you can put a profile picture and still have your book cover. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It was just different. And they was actually getting upset because they were talking to something that wasn't theirs. But I did turn around and do something like this before. I took some of the characters in my book on it. I made Facebook pages for 4 or 5 of the characters to have other interaction with each other on Facebook, and people actually believed that they were real people. And I was working all those different Facebook pages.
Wow.
And then I finally came out and said, okay, these are all characters from a book. They're not real. I mean, guys was trying to get with these women and all this, talking about, yeah, I want to get with, oh, I really wish I could do the thing that you, can we get together? Can we hook up? You know, and girls were talking to the guy, because the guy had made him a muscular guy. And what I thought the character, I thought wanted to, that I thought the character should look like. And these were pictures that were on stock photos. They were taking these and believing it to be somebody. You know.
See, we have phrases for people like you. Multiple personality disorder. All right? Red takes those pills, and those pills take those pills.
So it was fun doing it. I did that for about 6 months, and then it finally came out that those were me, all me. And those people, of course, were, when they did, for those who did find out, they were pissed. But then there was some that was like, okay, that was a good thing you did. And I was even putting stuff on that the characters were doing in the book. If they read the book, they would have picked up on the shit. But a lot of people, you know, didn't, because they were so into the face they saw instead of what was really going on. That's
exactly
the reason why I asked, beautiful Davis. That's the reason why I asked that. Because you are beautiful.
Yeah.
This is you. You fine as hell. Yeah. But
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's just, I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope that you would like to come back in the future as you bring out books, or just want to come on and talk with us. It's fun. We're trying to keep your show going right now. There's some things going on that I'm working with to try to keep it going, and we're going to do that. The show's been running since 2009, so we really want to keep it going. And DV, just to give you some insight on what happened last week when I got interviewed myself, I was interviewed. They were saying that our show, DV, is the foundation and the thing that has started so many other talk shows were talking about sex on the radio, that we're the foundation, and they're looking at us as the founders of that. So they congratulated us.
Oh, man, it's all you.
Gosh.
It's all you.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the ride.
Well, you're part of that legacy now, because that's what it is. So, Lynn, did you have anything you want to say? You want to say anything else that, like, how people can get your books, and if they want to get you for a book signing or any shout outs or anything you would like to say, your Twitter accounts, anything you want to put out, you want people to have them contact you.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I wanted to thank you for extending an invite to me to come on. This is actually my first radio interview, so, I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. I had a blast. And, you know, people can get in touch with me. Like I said, my email is Vicki Vail, and that's Vicki with an I. Not the IE, just Vicki with an I. Vicki Vail Writes at gmail.com. You can go to LynnDavisWrites.com, which is my website. I'm on Amazon. I'm on Smashwords, Goodreads, and things like that. So you can always look me up also on Twitter at Vicki Vail Writes. And I still have my short stories up on Lerotica. So you can check those out under Vicki Vail.
You're definitely going to look at them.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm definitely going to look at them. Actually, after the show, probably I'm going to go and take a look.
And I appreciate it, because one of the things that I've learned tonight is that you're pretty in depth in the erotica world. So to have your input or your feedback would be wonderful. So do check them out and tell me what you absolutely think. Like I said, I got about, average of 10,000 people that read my things and follow me. And it's nice, but, some people just read because they want to get off. And, they say that in the emails, thank you for helping me get off. And I appreciate them telling me that. I'm sorry, say again.
You didn't hear me. Go ahead, baby, go ahead.
I'm looking for someone that'll talk about the story and talk about the character development, because I am new to this. And I know that I still got a long ways to go. But again, like I said, I appreciate being on. I always respond. I'm not that stuck up chick that don't respond. I'm not that girl. But I always respond to the people that reach out to me and things of that nature.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to keep you in my loop. And we're definitely going to keep you around. If you got any questions of me, or anything like that, not that I'm the expert, because I'm still learning myself, but if you just want to talk to me about some of the experiences I had with writing erotica and the things that I've done with my books, I got a few of them out there, but, I just want to, I can help you if you need it. If you don't, then, hey, got that too. And like I said, anytime you want to come on the show, just don't wait for me to ask for you. Just ask me, tell me, hey, when can I come back on the show? I would love to come back. You know, that's what you do now. You're part of us now, so you ain't got to wait for me to ask you to come.
Okay. All right, so I can just come and chill?
Hell yeah, you can come on and chill. Or you can come on, and if you got a new project, you can do that as well.
Okay, all right. I love it.
Okay. And we're definitely glad to have you. DV, you got anything you want to put out? We got about 10 minutes left. We're not really, really ready to go. I know if Lynn has to go, I understand that. But I just wanted to thank you. Definitely thank you for coming on, because, sometimes we have authors that are supposed to come on. I know you were scheduled, and there was two others that were supposed to be here. But sometimes when you be mainstream, like some of these authors, they ask you to come on, and then they turn around and don't show up. I hate when people do stuff like that. I really do. Especially when you came to me and asked me to come on the show. I didn't beg you to be on. And then you turn around and do this kind of thing. And when I say you, I'm not talking about you personally. I mean, when people do stuff like that, it's just unprofessional. And we talk about it all the time, don't we, DV? It's just crazy how they do this. It's like, well, we asked him, but we do what we want to do because we this, we all that. Hopefully you'll never become one of those type of authors that you feel like you're so big now. But you can't do it when you want to do it, and you just don't, It's just messed up. But anyway,
No, I mean, I've had an internet radio show. Actually, I've had 3 Blog Talk shows. So I understand exactly what you were saying. So you will never get that from me, just from being from the point on the side of a host. And, you know, you have all of this scheduled, and then you're like, oh, well, okay. Well, we just going, you know, yeah, I'm not that chick. I don't do that. So I love talking, as you can tell. I love talking, so, yeah.
Okay, well, we might have you on for just to help us with a subject or something. But before you go, I want to, well, they hung up. I was going to bring this person in, but they hung the hell up. Okay. All right, well, you know, I like I said, you know, it was definitely my pleasure talking with you. I am definitely going to read your book. Actually, I'm going to go out to Lerotica in a few minutes and look up you and look at some of your work that you have there as well. And, you know, if I tell you I got off on it, I'm going to let you know, because I'm going to tell you right now, but Erotica, if you can't get me where I want to
draw, of you.
Let me tell you this. If you can't get me where I want to draw my book, then you didn't do it. Huh?
Exactly. That's the way I feel. Yeah.
If you don't, when I write Erotica, if I ain't jacking off in between the scenes, then I ain't done this shit right. So I expect to get that when I read something.
Exactly.
So that's just being real. I mean, yeah. So I'm going to let you know. I'm sure you're going to get me there. Maybe you should see this beautiful woman. You seen a picture of this lady? She is beautiful. That in itself is enough. But anyway, I'm going to read what you got in your mind. I like that.
Hilarious. Okay.
I am a hilarious woman. But that's Word of Sexy Radio. That's the shit we talk on this show.
That's what we do.
What's up, baby? Got anything else?
Sure. Nothing at all, sir.
All right, I'm going to be down here in Dallas all this week. I'm going to be down here till Friday morning, and I'm going to get out of here and go back to Kansas City. But it's been real, and we thank y'all for coming and listening on the show, and we're going to continue to do what we do like we always do. We'll be back next week, and then we'll see who the guest is going to be. And if they're not, I'm sure me and DV will come up with something like we always do.
Of course. That's what we do. Because we're men.
That's right. Because we work like that. We knock it out.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
All right.
There's nothing else that needs to happen. I want you. Now.
Baby, I'm excited. Sad to hear. You're invited. Listen. Take it slowly, take it baby,
take it baby,
take me.
I've made the decision, I'm ready, full compromise, if you're with me, you can go through what you need to go through, but I want you, I want you.
Mother,
I want you.
I want you.
Yeah.
I want you.
I want you.